first of all, please, in the second book of the Chronicles. The second book of the Chronicles, chapter 34. Second Chronicles, chapter 34, and verse 15. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book. Now I'll read on the verse. I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. Reading here the other day, I was impressed with that little statement, I have found the book. Now turn with me, please, to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. Now, I'm going to be very brief in the reading. Don't want to start, I said, in the reading of these scriptures. I'll be as brief as possible in the preaching. But I'm speaking just now of the reading. The book of Joshua, I'm reading for little expressions that have impressed me. Chapter 1, the 8th verse. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The book of Nehemiah, please. The book of Nehemiah and the 8th chapter. Chapter 8, verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe. Now, I was impressed with this. It's not Ezra that's speaking, and it's not the leaders that's speaking, it's not the priests that's speaking. Now let me read it again. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book. Now, 1 Timothy, please. 1 Timothy and chapter 4. And reading at verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now finally, please, in the second epistle of Peter. 2 Peter and chapter 1. Now, I'm just going to read the verse that's before me because I believe that the subject matter of the verses previous are understood. I'm going to read this a little different for you. If you look at your authorized, I'll read to you the reading that I feel interprets the passage for us. Verse 19. We have the word of prophecy confirmed. Whereunto you do well that you take heed in your heart, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, a murky place, until the day dawn and the day star arise. The Lord bless to us the reading of His word. Reading through the history of the kings, where I'm reading personally and privately at the present time, and being impressed by the very few and brief periods of recovery and revival that the Spirit of God indicates to us throughout the history of the kings of Judah, I don't think, dear brethren, that you need look for revivals among the kings of Israel, because I don't think there was a king that was fit to produce a revival amongst the people of Israel. Not only that, but you'll notice, of course, that the Spirit of God is more emphasizing the history of the line of David and the messianic line. And consequently, I believe it's in keeping with the purposes of God to indicate to us throughout the book of the Chronicles, time after time, to give to us indications of recovery and revival. I believe no doubt that that will be the case. And it will always, of course, be in a greater or lesser measure. But you know, there's one thing that we should pay attention to in connection with these revivals, because I think that perhaps an area of truth that is not much taught, or perhaps not too much studied, we would need to go into that area to let us see that even in some of these great revivals that we speak of, whether it was in the days of Hezekiah, whether it was in the days of Josiah, or whether it was in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, dear brethren, when you bring to bear the light of the minor prophets upon the area historically that the Spirit of God is speaking about, you'll really see that these revivals were really not deep-seated. In other words, in the days of Josiah, we think of that wonderful recovery. And dear brethren, when it had come to its close, that's the reason there's a man that has been spoken of as the weeping prophet. And he says, oh, that mine eyes were a fountain of tears, that I could weep day and night for the people, for my people. Why? Because the thing had been so short-lived. And the man that had so much promise, that started off in touch with God, even young and tender, you'll notice that by an act of foolishness, not minding his own business, why, he took himself quickly off the scene. And how very quickly the warmth of that recovery and revival, it had dimmed in the experience of the people of God. But I think if you bring to bear the prophetic ministry of Jeremiah and others of the minor prophets, you'll see that behind the seemingly warmth of that recovery, it really was in the heart of one man. It was in the heart of Josiah. Sometimes, you know, I think, dear brother, and I speak personally now to my own heart, I think sometimes we miss a great deal by reading superficially and not bringing to bear oftentimes a prophetic ministry that relates to the history of these times and the kings. And you know, when you read through the book of the Kings and the book of the Chronicles, it would be well for you to go over to the minor prophets, and you'll usually find a number of them that the Spirit of God dates. And when you see a divine dating in your Bible, you pay attention to it, and I believe look at the period, and the Spirit of God will give to you the spiritual condition in history of that which is outward and historical in the book of the Chronicles. Brethren, has it not always been so? You know, I was thinking here and reading through the book of the Revelation, and when you come to its early chapters, you remember, there is Sardis. Unremarkable what the Spirit of God has to say about service, for the name means those escaping. Those escaping. And we know, of course, that the Spirit of God is identifying a remnant that actually escaped out of the conditions of Thyatira. And you know what Thyatira means. But dear brethren, how short. My, with what promise it seemed to blossom. And then, Peter died. He says, thou hast a name to live. They're dead. They're dead. You'll notice in the second book of the Chronicles, chapter 34, and I have no doubt that Jeremiah is referring to this very event. When in his own personal experience he says, thy word was found, and I did eat it, and it became the joy and rejoicing of my heart, and I sat alone. Brethren, are we ready for that in these days, to sit alone? Now, I don't mean isolation. I do not believe that. No, no. Nor am I speaking about a carnal exclusivism. I'm not speaking about that. Because I have always found when a man generally takes his stand upon principle and acts upon it, and he feels why I'm alone in this thing, before the day's long out, he finds there's other saints standing right with him. I know. Poor old. God bless him now, don't misunderstand me. God raise up more of them, Elijah. Just what are you doing here, Elijah? Oh. And you know, Elijah's just like the rest of us. You know, we're very prone to give the Lord a lot of information. I was telling them about the man, you know, they had their gospel hall with a place where the railway lines run past. And of course, when they pray and anything like that, you hear the rumble of these freight trains going by. And there was one quaint brother was up praying and stopped. And he says, Lord, there you are. He says, you can hear it for yourself. But we are prone to give the Lord information. That he knows all about it, dear brother. He knows our uprising and our down sitting, and he knows our thoughts afar off. No need to give the Lord any information. He knows it all. Jeremiah says, thy word was found, and I did eat it, and it was there joy and rejoicing of my heart, and I sat alone. And if you have read through that wonderful prophecy, for wonderful it is, even though he has been spoken of as the weeping prophet, there's nothing will exercise your soul like reading through the prophecy of Jeremiah and the book of the Lamentations. For there's a man, and he loved that young king, Josiah, and he broke his heart when Josiah died, and there's men, dear brethren, that have died, and the people of God have broke their hearts. And I wondered why should he be taken from us at a time when we so needed him. That's the Lamentations of Jeremiah. That's really the funeral dirge of a king with so much promise. That rent his heart and trembled when the book was found. The note that impressed me in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, dear brethren, is this. You know, it'd be a great thing if in this conference, now there's been larger conferences across the country, but I don't think we need to worry our head about that. After all, we're here to help each other and to minister to the saints that have come. Listen, it'd be a great thing if some believer, young or old, at the end of this conference could say with confidence in the presence of God, I have found the book. Oh, you say, brother, I think you're making a mistake, aren't you? What way? I'm always making mistakes. You know, you make mistakes, it's always wise to acknowledge them. I have found. My, when they found the book, dear brethren, it was just days of discovery for them. Days of discovery. The Spirit of God began to unfold to them that which needed correction, and that which needed to be carried out. And my, that young king with devotedness in his heart, and the aspirations to do what God would show him when the book was found. My, I tell you, there was days of rejoicing within that period when they turned their attention to carry out the dictates and the exhortations and the principles of that book that they had found. Remind you, you'll remember in the book of Deuteronomy that every king that was brought to the throne was to write out a copy of the law for himself. For himself. Seemingly it never had been done. The book was lost. You know what oftentimes impresses me, dear brother? You know what? I believe it would impress you as well. Do you know where they found it? Do you know where they found it? In the house of the Lord. Now you'd be impressed with that, my brother. For I'm impressed with it. And the older I get these days, the more I'm impressed that it's possible to find the book in the house of the Lord. And if we would only find it again, it will make changes, and it will stop adrift, and a movement of things that is not for the glory of God, nor for the good of the people of God. I have stated before, and I'm going to state it again. We are getting away from the book to the movies. And instead of the old-fashioned preaching of a simple gospel, we are entertaining people with movies. I'm not even speaking about scientific movies. I'm speaking about Billy Graham's and the actors that I doubt very much where some of them really have God's salvation about them. For I cannot conceive in my mind that my New Testament teaches me that when a man gets saved, he goes back to Hollywood, whether to make ungodly or Christian movies. Do you know where they found the book, Brandon? Do you know? In the house of the Lord. You say, where had it been for all this time? You might well ask the question. You might well ask the question. But brethren, I must move on, for I want to leave room for another man. You know, there were two or three preachers on one occasion, and the time was divided up among them. And by the time the last man come on, he'd only 10 minutes. And he told the story about two men that were going through a part of Iowa where they had the large hog farms. And he took them out to see this interesting setup, if you've ever seen it. And they were bringing these bushels of corn and throwing it to them. And the man must have been a stiffy snicker, knew very little about hogs. And so he looked in. He said, why don't you take the corn or the husk for them? And the farmer looked at him. He says, what did I do that for? Well, he says, it will save you time. He says, what's time to a hog? So sometimes I get that name. But I'm going to try and behave myself this morning. I found the book. Where did you find it? Hilkiah. In the house of the Lord. My produced weeping, God did. You say, I didn't notice that. Oh yeah, we'll read it again now. That young king rent his garments and he wept. And the Lord commended me, said, I'm glad your heart was tender. My brethren, let us at all times keep a tender heart and conscience in relation to the book of God. You know, it's her only preservation. I want to tell you, in a day when the devil is preparing to make an all-out attack against the assemblies of the people of God, it's time to look around to your garden and find the book again. Find the book. And if it's an assembly of God, that's where you'll find it. It'll be there, all right. Because that's how it got its beginning, because the books are there, around there somewhere. I found the book. Now, when you come to the book of Joshua, in chapter 1, here's a time of displacement. Displacement, displacement. It's always a sad time, isn't it? Displacement. Mr. Alves was speaking at North Vancouver, and he impressed him with a statement of the commencement of the book of Joshua, and dear brethren, it certainly would impress any careful reader as you open that wonderful book of Joshua. The Spirit of God says, Moses, thy servant, stay. Time of displacement. Moses, my servant, is dead. It's a time for new leadership. And you know, dear brother, and I'm not speaking about displacing the present leadership, unless they die. Unless they die. I speak about times of displacement. When others pass on, to require men to stand in the gap. God says, Moses, my servant is dead. Arise and go over this Jordan. What will I go over with? Two things. And brother, you can't improve on them. On every other introduction is futile if we do not have the presence of God and the principles of the book. My presence will go with. And he says, in this book you'll meditate. That, my brethren, is the most urgent criteria for leadership. I was impressed with a little verse here. I was reading it the other day. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child. Will I quote it again? Woe unto thee, O land, when thy king is a child. And we have children spiritually leading things today. So that statement wouldn't be very popular. But I'm not around for popularity. I don't know how long I'll be around, but I'm not around for popularity. And there are things being introduced. And they're being introduced by children. Did you get that? I'm speaking kindly, but I want you to get my point. Woe unto thee, O land, when thy king was this man a child? No, he wasn't. You say, how do you know? Because it would be against the very principle of God to take up children to lead. I don't know that hand from that hand in spiritual things. And this is where our weakness is going to be introduced. Joshua, he said, you'll go forth to lead my people with two things. My presence shall go with thee. And in the book you'll meditate. You know what that word meditate means? It means talk it over with yourself. You see, if you're going through what I'm talking about in my reading, I can't help referring to them because they just jump out at you. You've danced in the chapter previous. It's a time to dance too, you know. Not mixed dancing. No. But I think we could do with a little bit of sanctified dancing before the Lord in our own experience. But of course, you'll always find people looking out the curtains of the window, you know. You watch when you find a woman pulling the curtains back and looking out. Watch. Three times they're different. What's keeping it? Oh, they says, don't worry. You know, the wife wonders when you're not in what's keeping you. Well, you've either been at an oversight meeting or something else. You know, those things can go on to the wee hours of the morning. What for, I wouldn't know, but anyway. Oh, they're dividing the garments. They're there, dividing the spoil. He'll be here soon. She was going to look out of the window a long time before he come. Because there was a good woman had a peg down to the tenth floor. Oh yeah. Her husband wasn't much sympathy with her. That really didn't matter. He had aligned himself with the enemy. Oh, you say she shouldn't have done that, giving him milk and then killing him. He had no business in that tent. And you know, if boys are going to go where they have no business, they're going to get killed. You've no business being in that tent. That's the reason that the Deborah, the woman who was out of her place, sings about a woman who's in her place. Blessed be Jael among women in the tent. Genesis chapter 18. Abraham's the tent door. Sarah! Where is she? Oh, she's working. She comes in about five. Hold it now. Gary, you want me? Abraham? Yeah. There she is. Yeah. Sarah. Yeah. Let's sit down under the tree. No trouble with the wife. Old fashioned, isn't it? Aye, but you can't improve on it. It's in the tent. Now, quickly, she's looking out. Oh, sure. That's a long time. Dancing. It all depends what your dance is at. You're dancing before the Lord as the ark come up and it's due order. Dance before the Lord. She was a daughter of Saul, and you couldn't appreciate much else. The flesh never appreciates anybody dancing before the Lord. No. If you're really exuberant these things and the things of God and you're holy in them, you know what they say about you? He's abnormal. He's abnormal. No, he's only normal. We're subnormal. Did you get that? Well, he's abnormal. No, they're not that, brother or sister's not abnormal. Because of out to live for God. They're not abnormal. They're just normal. That's normal Christian experience, as I see it in the New Testament. And if we're not up there, we're subnormal. Subnormal. Sat before the Lord. He's right. Talk it over with yourself. Rather, you haven't time likely in the morning to read reams of chapters to tell you 30 chapters, get up an hour early and read 40 chapters. Nonsense. Just lie to your usual time and get your rest. And you'll be able to stay awake in the meetings at night and read a wee passage. Meditate on it. Talk it over with yourself, and some of us are probably more intelligent than yourself. As we used to do when we were young believers, at the end of the day you'll have more in your seat basket than you had when you went out. Meditate upon it. with you. Day and night. That simply means, dear brother, I don't think he was up all night. Any more than Paul was up all night and all day when he says praying day and night. No. I think that expression means it was the continual attitude. Someone said to Mr. Williams on one occasion, I heard him say this himself. They said, Mr. Williams, do you ever pray for an hour in the day? No, he says, I do not. I don't have the time to pray for an hour. But he says, I tell you, there's not an hour of the day that I don't pray. And it's good to live like a Nehemiah. Send them up short and sharp. Lord, remember them. Mr. Knox said, Peter had prayed the way some of the brethren prayed. He never would have come up the third time before he could have asked the Lord to save him. Lord, save me! Listen. Brother, I'll have to hurry up. That's the criteria for leadership. And be honest with yourself. Let me say a little word to those dear brethren who are in the position. Don't put your hand on any man. Load the basis with unprofitable material for leadership. You'll only lead yourself into difficulty. If you don't have it, you're down before God and ask God to give it to you. Men who know what it is to, when the problem arises, to open their book and say, brother, there. And men who won't go beyond what's, and who won't settle for less than what's said. Meditate. Nehemiah chapter 8. The people says, bring the book. Did you notice that? The people say, bring the book. I got into the bus here yesterday. The driver put things down. I was sitting in the front seat. I always like the front seat. Sort of can jump back if anything happens. And he looked at me with his quaint smile, an American. Well, he says, I guess we better get the shoe on the road. He sat down, started off to the scandal car. I don't know what show he was going to, but I was coming to the conference. I have to get the shoe on the road. The other people says, all we want you to have is this. Ah, it meant weeping, brother. It meant tears of confession. But you know it led to wonderful times. You know, I can't help but skip this because it's my observation. There are people who will come to anything else only. Cup of tea, and they'll fill the place. Just as long as you have tea. Just as something of different, something different. Ministry man? No. Not a people say it's right. God give us the sweep over the people of God. This desire that nothing can replace. And they'll cry to the scribes and the man of God, bring the book. But let us hear what the book says. We'll weep over it if necessary. We'll adjust things if necessary. But Ezra, bring the book. Bring the book. Brethren, bring the book. All the other highfalutin things, as far as I'm concerned, you can have them. But if you invite me, all I'll be bringing is two hymns and a prayer, sometimes my whisper times one hymn and a prayer, and just a book. And I have found, and I think Mr. Alves would bear this out as well, we do thank God for many places yet, where all you need to do is to go in and take the book, and man, they'll come. They'll come, thank God, they'll come. And they'll sit and enjoy it. Bring the book. Bring the book. 1 Timothy chapter 4. What was the meditation for in Joshua? Supporting leadership. What was it in Nehemiah chapter 8? A separating influence. They separated themselves. The people who said, bring the book, we need adjustment. We need a separating here. Bring the book. 1 Timothy, what is it? Safeguarding. Safeguarding. Why, he says, give attention to reading. That's the public reading. And of course, that's in keeping with what I'm talking about. I know there's a private reading. That's Joshua chapter 1. Here is the public reading. The public reading. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to teaching. Give thyself wholly to them, and neglect not the gift that is in thee that was given to thee by, perhaps it's by the hands of the presbytery. Give thyself wholly to them, for in so doing, thou shalt not only save thyself, and then hear me. Rather than listen. If God has put a ministry into the hands of our brethren, if they have any spiritual intelligence and keep in mind the exhortation of Peter, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God, there never was a day when there was a need for a ministry that would be a saving ministry to the people of God. Thou shalt not only save thyself, but them that hear thee. May the Lord give us grace in the sanctuary of God to have a ministry that will be preserved in character of God. Then the tyranny. Preservation. And Peter, we're going through a dark, murky place. Do you know what we need? We need a little light. The children sing, this little light of mine. Well, this little light of mine. Ah, thank God. What's not a little light? My, it's radiant beams. Shine with beams most cheering the murky face of earth. And the path of it just shineth more and more unto the day dawn, the perfect day. The rays and radiant beams. What part of it? The prophetic scriptures. Peter says, we have it confirmed in the mount. And you do well to take heed to it in your heart. Till the day dawn. And the day star. Support him. Suffer him. Safeguard him. Check him. I have found